A young man in ancient China once asked his teacher, "Is there one word that could guide a person throughout life?" The teacher paused, then offered, "Reciprocity. Do not impose on others what you yourself do not want." This exchange, recorded 2,500 years ago, captures something remarkable. Not a grand philosophical system, but a living voice responding to a genuine question. That teacher was Confucius, and his brief conversations with students became the Analects, a text that has shaped billions of lives across centuries. What makes these fragments so powerful? Perhaps because they don't preach from on high, but meet us where we are, struggling with ambition, navigating relationships, wondering how to be good in a complicated world. Picture China in 551 BCE, the Zhou dynasty crumbling, warlords competing for power, the old social order collapsing. Into this chaos was born Kong Chu, later known as Confucius, from modest circumstances. Rising through government positions, he demonstrated such principled leadership that he clashed with self-interested rulers. Rather than compromise, he chose exile. For 14 years, Confucius wandered between states with disciples, seeking a ruler who would implement virtuous governance. He never found one. Politically, his journey failed. Intellectually and morally, it transformed him. During those years of travel and conversation, the wisdom that would reshape Chinese civilization took form. Confucius attracted students from every background, aristocrats' sons, merchants, farmers, even criminals' children, united by hunger for refinement and moral acuity. Returning home at nearly 70, he spent his final years teaching. Near death, he told a student he intended to remain silent, adding, "What does heaven ever say? Yet the four seasons move in order and the hundred things come to life." He died at 72, leaving not systematic philosophy, but something rarer, the record of a thinking human, aware of his limitations yet committed to moral truth. The Analects is China's most important book, yet it doesn't read like one. Instead of systematic arguments, we find fragments, what Confucius said in response to specific situations, compiled by disciples after his death. Its authority emerged gradually through competitive interpretations, with followers expanding his ideas to address changing social complexities. Imperial patronage during the Han Dynasty embedded Confucian principles into China's institutions. After centuries of decline while Buddhism flourished, Confucianism revived powerfully during the Song Dynasty. When Mongol rulers made the Analects required study for civil service examinations, it became essential for social advancement. What makes it endure isn't just wisdom, but ambiguity. The text reveals Confucius as a real person, sometimes frustrated, occasionally uncertain, always thinking. Though challenging due to its fragmentary nature, it rewards persistent readers by modeling a way of thinking that balances competing values, tradition with innovation, self-cultivation with social responsibility, moral idealism with practical governance. Confucian self-cultivation centers on lifelong moral development through three qualities. The humane never suffer from vexation, the wise are never perplexed, the brave are never afraid. This journey begins with rigorous study of poetry and ritual. Poetry sharpens the mind and makes one better adjusted in a group and more articulate when voicing a complaint. Yet knowledge demands application. Reciting 300 poems means nothing without using that knowledge in political responsibilities. Ritual practice provides balance. Unless you learn the rites, you won't be able to find your balance. True ritual must transform one inwardly, not merely create an impressive exterior. When asked about humaneness, the core Confucian virtue, Confucius replied, "Restrain the self and return to the rites." This requires daily discipline. Do not look at, listen to, speak of, or act in ways contrary to ritual propriety. Paradoxically, humaneness is immediately accessible. As soon as I desire humaneness, it is here. Yet people resist the effort. The gentleman broadens his learning through literature while restraining himself through ritual practice. True learning transforms the whole person. The gentleman makes demands on himself. The petty man makes demands on others. Confucius's teachings center on reciprocity. Do not impose on others what you yourself do not want. This principle transforms all relationships. True filial piety transcends duty. Confucius emphasized that maintaining genuine emotional presence proves harder than physical tasks. Authentic care matters more than outward compliance. For friendship, he offered nuanced wisdom. Be honest when there is a reason to reprove a friend and guide him with a deft hand. But if he is unwilling to listen, you should stop. He distinguished beneficial friends, upright, trustworthy, and learned, from harmful ones, displaying practiced manners, affected sweetness, and glib tongues. In professional settings, Confucius warned against those who obsess over securing positions, then fear losing them, willing to do anything to maintain status. Unlike gentlemen who focus on responsibilities, such people lack courage for candid speech. When Zigong asked if one word could guide life, Confucius offered reciprocity, understanding others by reference to oneself, allowing us to treat others with the consideration we desire. Confucius championed moral authority over coercion, insisting on rectifying names, restoring integrity to language so trust could exist. Without this, punishments become arbitrary and government fails. When asked about governance, he used wordplay. To govern is to correct. When you set an example by correcting your mistakes, who will dare not to correct his mistakes? Leaders shape society like wind bends grass. Their character determines the people's conduct. Though principled, Confucius remained pragmatic, advising officials to overlook minor faults, promote talent, and ensure prosperity before moral instruction. He identified three governance essentials: sufficient food, a well-equipped army, and public trust. Forced to choose, he'd abandon the army first, then food. Death has always existed, but a state cannot survive without the trust of its people. He warned that profit-driven governance breeds disorder. While claiming he could improve governance within a year, Confucius recognized genuine transformation, where humaneness prevails, requires a full generation.
Despite 25 centuries separating us from Confucius, his teachings address contemporary challenges with striking relevance. In our polarized age, his emphasis on rectifying names reminds us that honest communication requires shared understanding. When words lose integrity, social trust erodes. Against modern individualism, he offers a relational vision. The gentleman helps others to realize what is good in them, nurturing potential rather than criticizing flaws. For those navigating professional ethics, his warning that when actions are motivated solely by profit, one incurs much unhappiness, challenges the separation between business and morality. In our age of instant opinions, he warns against those who hear something on the road and immediately launch into a disquisition, calling this forsaking virtue, a corrective to social media's reactive commentary. Perhaps most importantly, Confucius offers wisdom for uncertainty. Only in the deepest winter do we realize that the pine and cypress are the last to shed their leaves. Character reveals itself when conditions are hardest. His voice, preserved across millennia, guides us, not with absolute answers, but with questions that help us find our own way forward.